challenge of space. Carling, world brewers of the great American beer Carling Black Label, presents another story in the dramatic series, The Challenge of Space.
Good evening. This is Charles B. Ryan, Director of Space Research here at the New Mexico Center. I think most people would agree that space is essentially an achievement on two levels, the technological and the human. As time goes on, man will improve on both levels. Bigger and better spacecraft, satellites, and rocket motors will be built, and they will be operated by men with a greater and greater amount of experience of space conditions. This greater expertise lies only a very short way into the future, and this forms the topic of our story tonight, which we have called The Screwball Satellite.
The heat of high noon. The dust devils whirl into a sky that's the color of steel. The outlines of the distant hills shimmer in the heat. And man, you're thankful for the cool beer you've got in your hand. The man's brand, Carling Black Label. The great American beer that's brewed right here in South Africa so that you don't lose a day of that lusty, lively taste Carling is world famous for. Carling Black Label is the extra strength beer that's enjoyed by men in more than 50 countries around the world. Got a thirst? Then go for the man's brand. Go for America's lusty, lively beer. Go for Carling Black Label.
Man's journeys to the moon and later to Mars and other planets of the solar system are the headline getters of the age of space. Never before has the whole world felt itself so involved in an adventure of mankind. Yet scientists will agree that for some time to come, the most productive work in space will still be done by unmanned satellites, the big brothers of Telstar, Echo, and the many weather observation spheres in orbit around the Earth.
Listen to that beautiful music, Jerry. Right on target.
Sounds great. How are the readings?
Everything functioning. Orbit exactly right.
What did you guys expect when Frank and me build a satellite? That satellite worked.
Yeah, sure. No matter how complicated it is.
Frank and you. Oh, I like that. Now, what about me?
Well, I suppose we have to admit you did tighten up a few nuts here and there. What do you say, Nick?
Out of the kindness of our hearts, Frank. That's
you
all.
Wouldn't have got it ready in time if I hadn't been around. Some guys have got a nerve, and I had to postpone my vacation at that.
You know, Mick, if I have to listen to any more about that vacation of John's, I'm going to blow my stack.
Oh, relax, you guys. I'm on my way tomorrow. And you don't see me for a whole beautiful week. Me for the wide open spaces. No radio, no TV, no telephones, no newspapers.
No movies, no shows, no traffic.
Yeah, we know. We've been listening to the same song for the past 2 months.
Hey, will you three get out of this control room? Jerry and me got work to do, even if you don't.
Work? All you desk jockeys got to do is flick a couple of switches once in a while.
You're right about that, John. They wouldn't know a spanner from a screwdriver.
Hey, talking about spanners, you haven't seen my big wrench around, have you?
Now, what would your spanner be doing in the control room, you nut?
Well, I don't know, but I can't find it anywhere else.
Oh, if you need a spanner that bad, you get another one with some of your vacation pay.
Hey, I bet you couldn't even tell the difference between that and any other one of the same make.
Well, it just so happens that my name's punched into the handle.
Well, if you're going on vacation, you won't need it for a while. Come on, I thought you were going to buy Frank and me a drink before you leave, huh?
Fine, sure thing. So long, Brad. See you when I get back, eh?
Come on, I'm thirsty.
Take care of our nice new satellite, fellas.
Yeah, so long.
Bye.
Oh, boy, those three squabble so much, I sometimes wonder how they ever get together on anything.
Still the best team of technicians we've got, Brad. That's the most complex weather and communication satellite ever built, whizzing around up there.
Yeah, they did it practically all by themselves, too. Yeah, you gotta hand it to them.
And all we have to do is sit here and operate it. Well, you're doing the first shift, so I think I'll go and turn in.
Yeah, fine. See, Jerry.
Don't push any wrong buttons. Remember, there's a lot of people depending on this new baby for a lot of different things.
Now he tells me, go on, go and sleep. By the time you wake up, every radio, TV, radio, telephone, and weather communication link across the world will be routed through this baby.
Hi, Brad. How's it going?
Great. Everything under control. I've rerouted most of the stuff through the new satellite. I must say it's easy to work with.
Oh, that's the whole idea of the design. Okay for me to take over now?
Yeah, all set. I wonder what those three nutty technicians who built this thing are doing now.
If I know Mick and Frank, they're probably sleeping the clock round.
Yeah, and John's on his way to the mountains. I wish I were going too.
Oh, I don't go for the hunting and fishing myself, but...
Oh, no. Something wrong.
What is it, Brad?
A satellite. It seems to have cut out. The beeps have stopped.
Oh, hang on. Don't panic. Those beeps are only the all's well signal. It mightn't be serious.
Yeah, I know that as well as you do, knucklehead. But look at the readings on the dials.
Good grief. The whole thing's gone haywire.
Oh, no. Just as I'd got half the world's long-distance communications routed through it.
Brad, do what you can to correct it. I'll get those technicians over here right away.
Wait for me.
Hey, Frank. They call you, too?
Call me? I thought the roof was going to cave in. What's it all about?
I don't know. Jerry just said something had gone bluey with the satellite.
They've probably been pulling the wrong switches.
The only thing I can think of is maybe a meteorite hit the thing.
I don't believe that. Chances of that happening are astronomical. Anyway, it's protected, as you know.
As far as we can protect it.
Which is pretty far these days. With the materials and shielding that went into that thing... The chances of anything like a meteorite damaging it are about 15,000 billion to one.
Well, we'll soon see what's happening.
Yeah, well, let's go in. Here we are.
Frank, Mick. Oh, thank goodness you're here. We can't get any sense out of this thing at all.
How come? You tell us. It's a massive malfunction of the whole system. Things keep switching on and off. The channels keep getting tied up with each other. The transmissions are wandering all over the bands. You name it.
Look, you sure it's not your instruments? I mean, the satellite may be functioning okay, and you have some kind of a short in the disk.
We've checked that, you idiot. Anyway, have you tried to listen to the radio or watch video at all?
Of course not. You dragged me out of bed.
Yeah, well, if you'd tried to listen, you'd have heard the mess. That thing's transmitting pure noise all over the spectrum. Radio, telephone, long-distance TV, everything's in a mess.
Oh, we've had complaints from practically every major communications network, Brad.
If what you say is true, I'm not surprised, but I don't know what to suggest.
What do you mean you don't know? You guys built the thing.
That doesn't tell us what's wrong with it, does it? What are you trying to do?
Oh, I've been trying every control in turn.
Hey, it's going.
Now, don't get your hopes too high. It's been doing this from time to time.
Yeah, but those beeps indicate everything's functioning normally.
That's right, Frank, but it won't stay that way. It only lasts a few seconds each time.
I can't understand.
Oh, there, they've gone again.
Look, you've got to reroute all those long-distance channels through some of the old satellites until we get this thing sorted out.
We've been trying to, Mick. It just doesn't work, though. The controls just don't respond.
Oh, brother. Here, let me try.
Well, pleasure.
No, he's right, Mick. No response at all.
Well, that leaves only one way out.
What are you going to do, Nick?
Talk to the boss. He's got to make this decision.
Yeah, but...
Hello. Hello, Mr. Harrington. McDonovan. You heard the news? Yeah. Yeah, I'm at the control room now. There's only one possible way, sir. We're going to have to burn her up. I understand. Yeah. Well, that's it, I'm afraid. And the longer we wait, the worse it's going to get. Right, sir. Right. I'll wait. Goodbye.
What does that mean, Mick?
There's enough fuel left to reverse thrust. She'll enter the atmosphere at a sharp enough angle to burn up completely.
Oh, no. All that work.
And what about all that money? The shareholders are going to be... Well, surely Harrington didn't agree, Mick.
There's no alternative. He's calling an emergency meeting right now. We'll hear it in an hour or so.
In the meantime, we sit and wait, eh? And watch our little satellite play tricks.
You know what I wish, Mick?
No, what?
I wish I'd gone off with John on his vacation.
You did, right?
Yeah.
It's been nearly an hour and a half already, Mick. When's Harrington going to come through?
Should be any minute. They know how important it is.
The trouble is, they know how expensive it is.
Oh, that'll be Harrington now. Hello, Mr. Harrington.
Pardon? Who?
Oh, good grief. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What?
But it can't. Well, what about a missile?
I see. I see.
Yes, sir. But,
well, we'll just have to.
Right away, sir.
Yeah, I promise you that, sir. Even if we die trying.
Frank, break out 2 spacesuits and our toolkits. Huh? Jerry, you get them to start a countdown on the service rocket.
Oh, but, Meg...
Don't argue, you idiot. Move.
On my way, Meg.
Meg, what's all this about?
That was General Lemington from the Pentagon. Brad, retro rockets fired on their own account half an hour ago, but not enough to break the orbit completely. Instead, they started a slow decay, which means that the satellite is going to land on Earth intact, but with all the force of a couple of hundred tons at over 1,000 miles an hour.
But I still don't understand why you and Frank have...
They've plotted the trajectory. That satellite's going to land right in the middle of New York.
Know something? In these mellow after-supper hours, there's nothing like a beer to make a man feel good, relaxed and good. And there's no beer like a Carling Black Label. Carling is the man's brand, the great American beer that's now brewed right here in South Africa, so you don't lose a day of that lusty, lively taste Carling is world famous for. Got a thirst? Then why not get your hands on a Carling right now, cold and frosty in the can. Man, oh man, isn't that just what real beer is all about? No wonder Carling is enjoyed by men in more than 50 countries around the world. Go for the man's brand. Go for Carling. Carling Black Label.
If that satellite lands on New York, it'll kill hundreds of people, maybe thousands.
You're right. That's why Frank and I have got to get up there fast before the orbit decays so much that the atmosphere starts to break its speed. And once that happens, it'll only be a matter of minutes.
But what about a missile?
That's what I asked the general. He says anywhere a missile can catch that thing, it'll scatter radioactive debris over a populated area.
Well, they started the countdown on the service rocket, Mick. Now, what's this all about?
Brad will have to explain. I must go.
Frank out there?
Yeah, he's getting into his suit. The tools are on board.
Mick, have you checked with Harrington? He has to authorize all service flights, you know.
Harrington can wait. This means lives, my friend, and they're a whole lot more important than money. You'll hear from us once we're launched. If we're not too late.
Okay, Mick. Good luck.
They'll make it, Brad.
They've got to.
I guess that's why we always keep the service rockets ready. Oh, Brad, if that satellite crashes on New York...
Oh, don't even talk about it. Jerry, check with the NASA monitoring station how far that thing is from atmosphere. Huh?
Oh, sure.
Oh, come on, come on. They should be in touch by now.
Service rocket got control. Coming, Brad. Over.
Brad, hear me. You in orbit yet?
Orbit established just beyond estimated height of atmosphere. No sign of that satellite yet. Must be over the other side of the Earth. Can you give us details?
Yeah, getting them for you right now, Mick. Jerry, what's the word?
Speaking to the tracking station now, Brad. Yeah, okay, I'll tell them that. Thanks. Keep in touch, will you?
NASA has got them on the scan, Brad. Mick and Frank are about 20 miles below the satellite and 300 behind. The satellite orbit's decaying at about 5 miles per hour per hour.
Accelerating, huh? Okay, you get that, mate.
Got it. We just have to work this off by feel. No time to compute fancy orbits. Thank heaven these service craft carry plenty of fuel. Signing off now while we chase that maverick. Over and out.
I wouldn't like to be those guys right now.
You haven't got the space experience to be, Jerry. If the job can be done at all, then Mick and Frank can do it.
But what happens if they can't?
Oh, how do I know? What would you do?
I'll tell you the truth, Brad. If that satellite landed on New York, I think in their position, I'd just depressurize the cabin. And I'd take off my spacesuit first.
Nice work, Mick. That's as good a matched orbit as I've ever seen.
Well, it'll have to do. Okay, who's going on to have a look-see?
You take it easy. I'll go.
Okay, by me. Don't forget to secure your safety line.
Thanks for the advice. Don't you forget to breathe.
Okay, keep your shirt on.
Right, I'm going through the airlock now. I'll talk to you when I get outside.
Okay, I'll let Brad and Jerry know what's going on. Hello, service rocket calling control. Are you receiving me?
Hear you loud and clear, Nick.
We've matched orbits for the satellite as well as we can. How much time have we got before entering atmosphere?
Yeah, we got the details right here, Mick. The tracking station says you've got plus or minus 58 minutes.
Uh-huh. Should be enough, depending on what's wrong. Frank's got on to have a look-see. Let you know when he reports back.
Okay, Mick. Over and out for now.
Over and out. Hello, Frank. Frank, can you receive me yet?
Okay, I'm here now. Now I just gotta get this hatch undocked. Hey, boy, you sure tightened it.
Didn't expect to have to loosen it in a hurry.
Okay, got it. Right, now, Mick, I'm going in now. I won't be able to contact you from inside, so I'll just switch off what I can, and then I'll come out again and report back to you.
Frank, forget about the communications. You just check those rockets and get out here fast.
Okay, okay. Here I go.
Take communications yet? Only an hour left and he has to worry about the lousy electronic equipment.
Hey, Mick, get over here, fast.
What is it? What's inside?
Come and see for yourself, Mick. Somebody must have been in this satellite.
Right. That's got the hatch dogged up.
Yeah.
It's a darn good thing NASA pressurized these new models for the maintenance crews. One thing I can't stand is working in a spacesuit. Ah, what do you mean somebody's been in here?
Well, Mick, look for yourself.
Well, I'll be... The panel's been smashed up.
Just look at it. Whoever did this must be some kind of a nut. I mean, look, it follows no pattern. Looks like somebody just smashed all the most delicate instruments. Just smashed them with a hammer.
Yeah, but this is crazy. Look, the controls for the retro rockets smashed to smithereens. We'll never fix those in time.
Hey, did you hear that? There's someone in here.
But where? There's no place
look,
where...
Look, that wrench. It's heading straight for...
Oh, no.
No.
No, no. The air recycler. Grab it, Frank. It's bouncing around.
Hang on. Got it. Now, let's get whoever threw it.
Wait a minute. Nobody threw it.
What do you mean nobody threw it? Somebody must
look at the wrench, Frank.
What?
Look. Look there, right on the handle.
John Kovacs. Well, I'll be...
John's missing spanner. That idiot left it in the satellite.
Yeah, and the moment the thing went into orbit, stopped accelerating, the spanner was free to float around and smash into things. Tides wrecked the whole job.
It's worse than that. When it hit the retro rocket controls, it managed to head the thing straight for New York and smash the controls at the same time so we can't correct it.
So what are we going to do? Can't we repair it?
Sure, we could, given time. But that's just what we haven't got.
Mick, if we can't stop this thing somehow, thousands of people are going to die.
Nobody's going to die if I can help it. Frank, we'll have to invent a new space technique. We're going to have to tow this thing back into orbit.
Tow, fine. All right, now you tell me how we're going to attach tow ropes in a vacuum to something that's nice and round and smooth.
Well,
Well, we could use steel cables and a deep space welding torch.
But there isn't time for that, Mick.
No, I suppose not. Tell you what.
What?
We could throw a cable with a knot in it through the hatch and dog the hatch shut. Yeah, that'd hold it.
Yeah, sure, but how do we attach the cable to the service ship? Now, wait a minute. What happens when the cable gets into the line of blast from the service ship's rockets?
Yeah, I see what you mean. It'll burn to a frazzle. But in that case, we can't tow it at all.
We certainly can't push it, Mick.
Yeah, well then what?
Mick, the only thing we can do is ram it with the service rocket. We should be able to slow it up enough to fall into a steep orbit. Then it'll burn up.
Yeah, but so will we.
So will we. There's no alternative. Look, Mick, I don't know how you feel about it, but... Well, I'd rather die than see that thing crash onto a city.
I agree. Okay, let's get back to the ship.
This is Mick Donovan, calling control. Over.
We're here, Mick. How you making out?
We're not. The controls are smashed to pieces. A chunk of equipment must have broken loose during liftoff. It's wrecked the whole thing.
But that means you can't stop it from crashing.
Don't worry, Brad. We're going to ram it. It'll fall steeply and burn up.
But you'll kill yourself.
So what? We built the thing, didn't we? Goodbye, Brad. Over and...
Wait. Mick, can you hear me?
I hear you, Jerry. What do you want?
Mick, can't you tow it away?
We thought about that. The rocket thrust would burn any cable.
Well, push it, then. Surely a gentle thrust.
No. No, it won't work. The satellite's round. We're streamlined. A seal could balance a ball on its nose, but we're no seal.
A seal? Hey, wait a minute. Mick, don't sign off. What about a dolphin harness?
A what?
You know, the kind of harness they put on a dolphin so it can retrieve things. Surely you've heard of those.
Hey, you're right. Frank, you hear that?
Sure, I hear it. And it'll work. Okay, sign off, you guys. We got a job of work to do.
I hope you know what you're doing, buddy.
Look, Mick, all it needs is some skilled piloting. And I know you can manage that. Essentially, we have to make a sort of basket work of cables, all attached inside the satellite through the hatchway. Now, look, I can fix that in about 20 minutes, and how long we got? We got half an hour left. Then, you stick the nose of the service rocket into that nest of cables, take up the slack slowly, and then let her rip.
Don't use the word rip. Okay, I'll buy it. The net of cables won't move if we fix them. That's one advantage of being in orbit in space. Come on, partner, let's move.
Well, that's it. That's as secure as we can make it.
Yeah. Come on, back into the spacesuits and back outside. We've still got the net to lay out.
Okay, just let me secure this.
Secure what? Hey, why did you put that spanner back in the toolkit?
Not this one. I'm fixing this one to my belt. I'm not going to lose that. That's John's spanner.
You going to all that trouble to give it back to him after what he's caused?
Oh, no. I'm not going to give it back to him. I'm going to make him eat it. Steady, Mick. Steady. That's it. You got it.
Hey, look at the leading edge of the satellite.
It's glowing. We must be on the fringe of the atmosphere.
That's it. We just made it in time.
Okay, now we've got it in that dolphin harness. Let's get back into orbit and deactivate all the controls.
Okay, Frank. Here we go.
Mick, Frank. Oh, gee, I thought we were never going to see you two.
Hello, Brad. Hiya, Jerry.
Hi.
So did we. Still, we did make it. That's the main thing. I suppose Harrington's hopping mad.
Why should he be?
This caper must have cost a fortune.
Not to mention the fact that the whole satellite's got to be rebuilt in orbit.
Well, don't you two worry about Harrington. He's pleased as punch about the whole thing.
Pleased? Boy, you got to be joking.
No joke, Frank. Harrington figures the publicity he's got out of this is worth double what it costs.
Yeah, you two guys are heroes, didn't you know?
Wow. Heroes? Of all the crazy...
Mind you, there was a school of thought for a while that you ought to be lynched for allowing a piece of equipment to tear loose in the first place.
Hey, now, wait a minute. That's not fair either.
Frank, shut up.
But, Mick, you...
I said shut up.
Okay, okay.
Come on, let's get down to the workshop. So long, fellas.
Yeah, well, so long, Mick. See you later.
Huh? Yeah, come on, Frank.
Coming. Hey, Mick. Why don't you tell him it was John Spanner that did the damage?
You want John to be really lynched? Look, Frank, you're a technician, a good one. So's John. Haven't you ever done anything as stupid as that?
Yeah, I suppose I have.
Now, let me tell you, John does it less often than any technician I know. But we were working under pressure. Accidents can happen.
But this was nearly a mighty serious accident.
Maybe, but it didn't happen. And the less people that know about it, the better. In fact, only three people need to know at all. You, me, and John.
But when he realizes, John's going to be a very upset man, Mick.
Boy, he just needs to be. Remember what it was like out there when we thought we were going to ram?
That's something I'll never forget.
Wait till John gets back from his vacation. We'll do just what you suggested. Make him eat his spanner.
Hi, you guys. Boy, have I had a vacation. Just wait till I tell you about the fish I caught. Hey, you two really should have come with me, you know?
Yeah, maybe we should.
I'm with you, Mick.
I'll tell you, I can't wait for my next trip. I think... Hey, what's that?
What's what, John?
That spanner on your desk, that looks... Hey, that's my spanner. Look, it's got my name on it. Okay, you guys, which one of you took this? Now, come on, I want to know. Come on, fellas, Hey, why are you looking at me like that? Hey, what's going on? Ah, don't lock the door. Hey, wait a minute, fellas. What are you going to do? Yeah. Come on.
Well, that's the way it happens sometimes. Even the best of technicians can make a mistake, and even the smallest mistake can sometimes throw a spanner in the works. And now, until next week at the same time, this is Charles B. Ryan here at the New Mexico Center, wishing you all good night.
After a man's been driving himself hard all day long, challenging the sun and the wind, slogging in the heat and the dust to get a job well done, that's when a man needs a beer. And there's no beer like a Carling Black Label. Enjoyed by men in over 50 countries around the world. Carling Black Label Beer, the man's brand. Carling invites you to listen again next week to another story in this dramatic series, The Challenge of Space.